I'm sure many of us had it read at when we got married. I know we had parts of it read. I'm sure many of you did. And the last couple days, I got to thinking about, I was at an air show, I was at Oshkosh, and I got to thinking about love. And I saw a love for airplanes there, obviously, by many people. But I started wondering, what really is love? No, I've had this passage read. I know where it is, and I've never really looked at it that deeply before. No, just kind of skimmed over the surface of it. I've never spent much time. But I want to highlight what love is tonight and some things that the Apostle Paul here contrasts love to in a message called the Excellency of Love. In verses, let's go ahead and read, take our time here, let's read the text. In verse 1, starts out, and though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love, I am become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I could have all faith so that I could move mountains and have not love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeks not her own, is not easily provoked, and thinks no evil. Rejoices not in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endureth all things. Love never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. When I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. The first thing the Apostle Paul does for us in verses 1 through 3 is he contrasts love. In verse 1, it says, though I speak with tongues of men of angels and have not charity, I become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Love is better than fancy speech. Pretty simple. I've a pretty simple outline here. It's not nothing, just some observations that I have made. Love is fancier than fancy. Love is better than fancy speech. Something I am very thankful for, and something that my professors pointed out early in my college career, that I stutter. You know, they when they said your speech, and there's Jerry Stavinsky used to have a big stuttering problem as well. I talked to him, and you know, it's not by fancy speech. Love is better than fancy speech. We go on to verse 2. It says, even though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, we see that love is better than knowledge, better than all knowledge. Now think of some of these people that know everything. Love is better than that. And I'm sure many of us can name people who we think know it all. But love is better than that. It goes on to say, though I have all faith, as if I can move mountains. Love is better than all faith. Better than even that. And though I bestow all my goods and feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profiteth me nothing. In verse 3, we see that love is better than financial sacrifice. There's nothing we can, that we could give materially that isn't better than love. Love is greater than any financial gift we could ever give. It's also even better than martyrdom. Even, and though I give my body to be burned and have not love, it profits me nothing. Love is better than martyrdom. Those are just several contrasts. The apostle contrasts love. It's better than fancy speech. It's better than all knowledge. It's better than faith. It's better than any financial sacrifice any of us could give. And it's better than even martyrdom. What is love? Love, turn to 1 John 4, verse 8. If we're ready to flip around here, we're going to flip through a lot of verses real quick. This I'm going to list probably about 15 characteristics of love. And 1 John 4, 8 reads, "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So obviously we need to know what love is. If we don't know what love is, we don't know God. For God is love. So what is love? First we see that love suffers long. It's not... love is patient. Love suffers long. Look at 2 Peter 3:9. I'm going to have some examples, biblical examples of each one of these characteristics of love. Second Peter 3:9. "The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." That's what we need to be like. That's what love is. Love is long-suffering. Now, many of us have prayed for someone for a long time. Or we can think of a relative, or we think of a situation. Love suffers long. Just think of how long our God suffered for each one of us. How long He waited for each one of us to come to Christ. Love suffers long. Next, we read that it is kind. Love is sensitive. And let's turn to Matthew 19:14. That says, "Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish." No, he was sensitive. No, he included everybody. He didn't overlook anything. And sometimes we get in the heat of the moment, we lose our love. We lose our sensitivity. And this is another characteristic of what we need to be like. We need to be sensitive. Love is kind, sensitive. And when dealing with people, it's important. We don't deal with everybody the same way. You know, I work with several of the guys under me. I don't deal with them all the same way. I have to be sensitive about different things. We need to be sensitive. We need to be loving. Next, we read that the charity envieth not. Love is selfless. Let's turn over to Philippians 2, 7. It's not jealous. It does not envy. Philippians. "But made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." And let's go back to verse 3 as well. "Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in a lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." Here we see that love is selfless. Christ was selfless. No, it's not jealous. It's not going after what other people have. It's not seeking out to covet or to go after and to be grab what our neighbors have. Love isn't jealous. It's selfless. And it goes on that charity and envieth not. It's selfless. That charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. We see that love is meek. The New American Standard says love does not brag. How many times is it easy for us to say, oh, I'm better than that person. I got this or that or whatever it may be. No, I think it's easy to boast sometimes when we look at others, but that's not what love is. Love is meek. It does not brag. It does not puff oneself up. Sometimes I think it's neat the wording we have. It is not puffed up. Sometimes I think we are easily puffed up. We look at other people, see what they have, and it's easily to become puffed up. But love is meek. Love is not like that. It's not puffed up. Then we see it doth not behave itself unseemly. Love acts appropriate. Let's turn over to Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and men. So here we see that Christ increased in wisdom and stature. He acted appropriately. And love is that way. Love acts appropriately. It does not seek its own, but it acts appropriately. It acts the way we need to. As we should be growing after Christ, and as so we should grow and increase in these characteristics of love. Lost my spot. Does not behave itself unseemly. It seeks not our own. Love does not go after our own desires. No, as I was at the air show, that's what most love in our world is. I love this, I love that, got to have that. These guys are going after these airplanes because it's their own desires. But that's not the way love is. Love seeks not our own. Love seeks the betterment of others. It does not seek what we want. It seeks the betterment of other people. Matthew 20:28. And I think many times we can look at, there's many passages we can look at, many biblical examples. Let's turn to Matthew 20, verse 28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Christ, no, I think our supreme example, did not seek his own. He didn't seek his own will. We can have many, many, many examples of this, but he gave himself a ransom for many. And that's another characteristic of love. It does not seek its own. It goes on. It is not easily provoked. Love is self-controlled. Now, how many of us sometimes can act out in a rage or lack self-control? Let's turn to Isaiah 53:7, and we see a great example of Christ and his exercising love toward us. Isaiah 53:7. And he was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. What great self-control. How many of us would have that kind of love? Love with that kind of self-control. That's just another characteristic of the love that needs to embody our lives. And it goes on. Is not provoked, thinketh no evil. Swift to forgive. No, and I think we see Christ this way in John 8. You know, and we need to follow, I'm not going to turn there, and we need to be that same way. We need to be swift we need to think no evil. How many times does someone does us wrong? And are we swift to forgive? Or do we let our minds wander for a while and think, how can I get back at them? They've wronged me. I have it in for them now. But that's not what way love is supposed to think. Love thinks no evil. Swift to forgive. We need to be quick to forgive people. Forgive and forget. And quick to do so. Love thinketh no evil. No, and it shouldn't even be part of our thought process when someone wrongs us. And I know many times, you know, I'm guilty. And I think that way at work, someone will do something or say something or won't do something right. And I'm thinking, how can I get back at that person? And that's not the way we ought to be thinking. He's quick to forgive. Swift to forgive. It rejoices not in iniquity. It's sacred. You know, we ought not to rejoice in the destruction or someone else's sin. And love don't do that. No, these kind of go hand in hand. One kind of builds upon another one. But we ought not to rejoice in someone else's sin. Sometimes we want to revel in that, but that's not love. Love doesn't do that. It rejoices not in iniquity, but it rejoices in truth. Now, when someone does right, we ought to be there for them, commend them, help them, rejoice with them, encourage them. That's loving. Verse 7 says, bears all things, believe all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. We see that love is steadfast. Beareth all things. It's compassionate. I can't think of a better example than when Christ, many times it said when he saw a crowd, he was moved with compassion. He bore many things. He bore the cross. He was compassionate. And love bears all things. It's compassionate. Goes on to say, it believes all things. It's committed. No, and I think we need to be committed to each other. We need to love each other that way, and we need to believe and give each other the benefit of the doubt. When someone maybe wrongs you, or maybe you don't think it should have been done that way, give them the benefit of the doubt. Love believes all things. That's what love does. It hopes all things. Love is confident. True, genuine love is confident. There's a hope there. It hopes all things. And then thirdly, we see it's consistent. It endures all things. Now, many times I think, sometimes I think of little kids. Or I remember I had three younger siblings, one sister and two brothers. I know many times our love for each other did not endure all things. It was easily broken. Whether it be a little argument in the car, or we'd take someone's sucker, or you'd do whatever, but that's not the love we're supposed to have, that childish love. We're supposed to have a love that endures all things. No, when someone wrongs you, we're still supposed to love them and forgive. And forgive them. But love endures. Love endures all things. Now, many of us have been wronged. I'm sure all of us can think of situations. But love is to endure. Love's compassionate. It's committed. It's confident. And it's consistent. It endures. Then let's go down to verse 13 and look at where Paul categorizes love. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is charity, or love. Paul places great emphasis on love. The greatest of these things we can have is love. Everything we do as a Christian needs to be done through love. Love's better than, you know, if you can go out and have fancy speech, without love, it's nothing. You know, you can know everything, and without love, it's nothing. You can have all the faith in the world, all the finances, and even give your life, but if you do it without love, you do it in vain. It's nothing. And we need to work on these characteristics of love. I know I need to work on them. I need to be long-suffering, sensitive, selfless, meek. We need to be seemly, act appropriately. We need to remember that love seeketh not our own. We need to remember that love is self-controlled, it's swift to forgive, and sacred and steadfast. And we need to be that way, each and every one of us. You know, I think there's many poor examples of love in our world. And I think many of us are familiar with this passage, but I think we could spend some time digging deeper into some of these words. There's a lot more here. There's a lot more. This is just a surface, basic study of love. And I would challenge each one of us to spend some time in this passage and to really study it out and to really ask ourselves, are we a loving people? Do these characteristics embody our lives and the way we love? They should. Let's pray. Our Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for this evening. We thank you for this time to gather together around your word and to pray. Lord, we thank you that you're a God who hears prayer and you answer prayer requests. Lord, I pray you'd help us to be a loving people. Help us to study your word that we may become more and more like you each and every day that we live. Lord, we thank you for this evening. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.